we live in a fallen world. It's so real and so present and so horrifying that we need to look at another world.
Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He loves us, He is wise, He's powerful, and He calls us to put our faith in Him, to set our feet on that rock which will never move. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot. As you put your faith in the solid rock, study the unchanging word with us today.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about spiritual opposition. Sometimes I have criticisms from listeners. More than one has told me that Gateway to Joy is not practical enough, that I need to come down into the real world and be a little bit more realistic. It's time that you find out about the real world, one listener said. The picture you paint of Christians, that isn't how it is. Well, I guess I'm not making myself very clear, but may I try today to clarify that I'm really not here primarily to report the present state of things, but to hold up an ancient and eternal vision of reality with a capital R. We're talking about spiritual opposition. Of course, we live in a fallen and a broken world, and we are sinful people. Christians are not perfect. They are just forgiven. So I'm not, for a moment, wearing blinders when it comes to the faults and failings of Christians, let alone my own faults and failings and sins. But I cannot alter the standard which is set up in God's Word for us. This is an ancient and eternal vision of reality, with a capital R, which is the more real world, the one that's going to last forever, or the one that's going to melt with a fervent heat, according to scriptures. Well, this spiritual opposition business now. Satan is described as a roaring lion. He's also described as an angel of light, a deceiver, the destroyer, the father of lies. If we can just get people to think of, quote, reality, unquote, as being all the seamy side of life, as though the garbage can is somehow more real than the rose bush, then we will have deceived them. After all, in this world, the garbage can exists in the backyard and the rose bush in the front yard, but both are real, aren't they? We live in a fallen world. There's a lot of sin around. It's real, all right. It's so real and so present and so horrifying that we need to look at another world. Thank God this world is not all there is. And it certainly isn't the way it was meant to be. We know that God created a perfect world and He put a perfect man and a perfect woman in a perfect garden in this perfect world. And what happened? They decided to do it their way. There's a hymn that has a stanza that says, "Keep us, Lord, O keep us cleaving to thyself and still believing till the hour of our receiving promised joys in thee. Then we shall be where we would be. Then we shall be what we should be. Things that are not now nor could be soon shall be our own." And that reminds me of the prayer of the long-dead slave who prayed, "O Lord, I ain't what I ought to be. And O Lord, I ain't what I want to be. And O Lord, I ain't what I'm going to be. But thanks, Lord, I ain't what I used to be." I'd like to take you back to the Old Testament, to the first chapter of Joshua, verses 5-9. It's after Moses has died and the Lord is speaking to Joshua, who is to be Moses' successor. "No one will ever be able to stand against you. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong, be resolute. It is you who are to put this people in possession of the land which I swore to give to their fathers. Only be strong and resolute. Observe diligently all the law which my servant Moses has given you. You must not turn from it to right or left, if you would prosper wherever you go. This book of the law must ever be on your lips. You must keep it in mind day and night, so that you may diligently observe all that is written in it. Then you will prosper and be successful in all that you do. This is my command. Be strong. Be resolute. Do not be fearful or dismayed. Joshua, of course, had the example of Moses. He had the book of the law, and he had the Lord God Almighty. In other words, he had an unshakable foundation, an unbreakable promise, and an unchangeable God. Do you think things have changed? You and I have exactly the same. We have the example of Moses. We have the book of the law, and a great deal more than Joshua had in written form. And we have the Lord God Almighty. In other words, we have an unshakable foundation, an unbreakable promise, and an unchangeable God. On television, not long ago, I saw a child who had been kicked out of the house. He had been on drugs, and he had a very vacant stare. He was asked by the interviewer, "What do you want?" He drew an absolute blank. The stare did not alter in the slightest. And so he asked again, "What is it you want?" This child had had nothing but a terrible relationship with his home. We could blame his going on drugs by the failure of his parents. But now his parents were being repentant. They wanted him to come back again. They wanted to help him. They wanted to change. And so the interviewer was doing his best to get this young man to state what he really wanted. But the young man had no answer. He was adrift. He had no goals, nothing to stand on, nothing to count on, nothing to tie him down. All he knew was he didn't want to be where he was. A man whose self is his master is the most miserable man in the world. I would like to ask you today, what do you live for? What do you live for? Is it worth dying for? If it's not worth dying for, it's not worth living for. As the gospel hymn says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." And then another one of my favorites that we used to sing in family prayers is the last stanza of "How Firm a Foundation." And these words have held me through many difficult times in my life. "The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake." In 2 Peter, the first chapter, we read, "I will not hesitate to remind you of this again and again, although you know it, and are well grounded in the truth that has already reached you. Yet I think it right to keep refreshing your memory so long as I still lodge in this body." Now this is Peter, of course, speaking to Christians, to those who share his faith. And he says, "I will not hesitate to remind you of this again and again." And those of you who listen to me regularly know that I repeat a good many things again and again. And I was encouraged to do this by Peter's word, "Even though you know it and are well grounded in the truth that has already reached you, yet I think it right to keep refreshing your memory so long as I lodge in this body." And of course, we never know how long we're going to lodge in this body. I have no idea whether this will be the last program that I will ever do. Peter goes on in verse 16 of 2 Peter 1. It was not on tales artfully spun that we relied when we told you of the power of our Lord Jesus Christ and his coming. We saw him with our own eyes in majesty, when at the hands of God the Father he was invested with honor and glory, and there came to him from the sublime presence a voice which said, "This is my Son, my beloved, on whom my favor rests." Peter is recalling his experience on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was given the privilege of seeing the glory that was to follow Jesus' suffering. This world is a pretty murky place, isn't it? That doesn't make it more real than the morning star. I love looking up early in the morning and seeing that pure, single star shining by itself in the sky as the dawn begins to come. And Jesus is called the morning star in scriptures. And this is my prayer. Lord Jesus, make thyself to me a living, bright reality, more present to faith's vision keen than any outward object seen, more dear, more intimately nigh than even the sweetest earthly tie.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.